Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Dwighty and Larry in for Damon and Ratto today on 95.7 The Game, and now brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi, unbeatable internet only from Xfinity. Nice enough to join us, the outstanding head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. So, Coach, the second half underway. What would you say was the aspect of last night's contest that you were least satisfied with?
I think just our attention to detail. You know, we go into the game knowing Malik Beasley is their best shooter, and that's a big focal point in the game, is to make sure we don't let him free. And there were 3 or 4 plays where we just completely lost him, and that's lack of focus, a lack of awareness of the game plan and what we have to do to win the game. And you know, that's where we've got to get better, and it's ultimately up to me to make sure that happens. I mean, I'm the coach, and I'm accountable for that, and that was the most disappointing aspect.
Steve, good to talk to you again. I was really sad to hear of Ray Ritter's sister passing, and it was
yes.
He was there last night, and you know, just I love that guy, and I think I just think the world of him. I know so many people do. Please pass along our thoughts and prayers to him and his family. There is no better person in the game than Ray.
Yeah, he's the best. He's just such an incredible asset for our organization and such a great ambassador. I mean, every media person out there on the national level just adores Raymond because he takes care of everybody. He's so good at his job. And yes, his sister passed away, and Raymond is at the funeral today. And so everybody with the Warriors and everybody who knows Raymond is thinking about him today.
As far as the team, I mean, some of the transition defense is something that you've emphasized. It was rough last night. The ability to defend without fouling, it just seems like it's just an elusive thing where the guys just never quite kind of have settled into a defensive rhythm. And it seems like the defensive struggles are exacerbated on the road. Is there any common denominators to any of this stuff, Steve?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, the first part of your question, I mean, you know, it's the game is connected. I always talk about it. You know, if you take a lousy shot, you're going to be vulnerable in transition. You know, you've got to make the defense move. You've got to work for a good shot to get the defense to rotate. And then if you get a clean look, then you're much more likely to have good balance in your transition defense. And I thought last night we took a bunch of difficult shots that were that led to really poor defensive balance. And we also, you know, had some just some careless plays. You know, maybe we didn't take a bad shot, but we, you know, just a careless pass, whatever it was. And, you know, that's one of the keys going into any game with the Lakers, knowing that, you know, they're number two in the league in pace. We're number one, they're number two. So, you know, those are areas where when you're on the road, it's you're especially vulnerable to transition, and you've got to be, I think, even better with your shot selection and with your ability to connect the game.
And coach, to that point, and with how connected aspects of the game are, how does the absence of Steph Curry's offense make things tougher for you at the other end of the floor?
Well, Steph takes some crazy shots, but they go in. So, you know, when the ball goes in and the opponent has to take it out of the net, that's an extra couple of seconds, and you're back. You know, and just the difference of the ball going in or not makes such a difference defensively. You know, and there's all kinds of advanced stats on this stuff. You know, your defense improves dramatically after a made basket. After a missed basket, for that simple reason, you're back. You get your defense set. They have to take it out. So, you know, the other area where Steph, I should say one of many areas where Steph just makes a dramatic difference is that he puts the fear of God in the defense, and all of a sudden he's generating a ton of rotation from the defense that lead to breakdowns. And so even if he's not making a shot, you know, somebody else is getting free for a layup. The defense gets demoralized. There's an emotional component to what Steph does as well. So, look, he's one of the greatest players in the history of the game. So this is not news to anybody. But, you know, his absence is definitely felt, but doesn't mean we can't win games. We've actually held up decently this year in games without him, but last night was not one of them.
Jordan Poole, Poole is so fun to watch, but I'm looking at his numbers. His shooting percentage from three is down. His free throw shooting percentage is down considerably. When I'm watching him, sometimes I just feel like yelling at the TV, you know, go to the rim, go to the rim. This guy is so aggressive, so deadly when he attacks the rim. Have you discussed it all with him? I mean, or is there anything that you and the staff can point to as to why we've seen the regression in his shooting?
Well, I think the biggest thing is he's getting a lot more attention now than he did a year ago. You know, last year he started the first half of the year next to Steph. Steph got all the attention. Steph drew the best defender. You know, now teams are game planning for Jordan. They understand how important he is for us, so they're putting their best defender on him. You know, Schroeder was all over Jordan last night and a couple weeks ago when we played the Lakers, and that was, you know, probably at the top of the Lakers list in terms of their keys for the game was just, you know, try to make things as difficult as possible for Jordan, because he's so crucial for us. So you have to remember he's still a very young player, and I think with young players, it's there's always going to be some regression. You know, progress is never linear. There's always going to be ups and downs, and this has been a really good learning process for Jordan. He's starting to understand some different aspects of the game and understand his importance and his place in all of it. And it's a great experience for him. But it's not. Not easy for anybody, but especially for him, because he's got a lot of pressure on him. And but he's a great young guy, and he works his tail off, and he's he wants it badly. So I know he's going to do everything to get better.
Catching up with Steve Kurtz, Whitey and Larry, in for Damon and Ratto. Coach, I got to ask you about something that fans are frustrated with. I can't imagine anyone is as frustrated as you by the fact that your team, as you've pointed out many times, you're aware of some of the mistakes you're making in terms of too many fouls, too many turnovers, and yet the mistakes continue. I know Ty Jerome talked about it last night, reaching the silly fouls. We've got to avoid those. So when a team makes the same mistakes and we know they're aware of them, Do we have to conclude that there's a physical element there, that other teams are taking advantage of something, some physical area of weakness that your team simply can't overcome just by being aware of the disadvantages?
Well, you know, some fouls, if we're going to, you know, talk about the fouls for a second, I mean, some of them are because we, you know, get blown by or whatever, and now we're vulnerable and we rotate and we're out of position, and so we foul. That happens in every game to every team. I don't mind those when it's just something that's physical, you know, something that's where, you know, we get beat by a guy and the help is there, but the guy draws a foul and makes a good play. You know, that's going to happen. The ones that drive us crazy as coaches are just the reaches, you know, the plays where we don't have to foul and yet we do. I think we had 4 fouls in the first 3 minutes of the third quarter last night. And, you know, that's a game changer. Now they're in the bonus the rest of the way. And several of them were reaches, and those are the ones that are killers, because you can control those if your mind is right. And again, you know, I'm the coach, so I gotta get this right. And we emphasize it every day, but we got to go out and do it.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned the third quarter, because I really wanted to ask you about it. I mean, if you go back and look at third quarter differential in this whole run with the Warriors that you've been here through, I mean, you guys have led the NBA in third quarter differential almost every year outside of, you know, 2020, which was a down year. We all know why. But last year, you guys were plus 2.7, led the NBA in third quarter differential. This year, you guys are minus 0.3. It's 20th out of 30 teams. Is there anything that you can point to as why this team struggles now this year in the third quarter for the first time in years?
Well, we're not the same team, so it's a different team, so everything's different.
Sure.
But if you're one game under 500 versus being whatever we were last year, probably, you know, 15 games over 500, you're probably worse in every quarter. You know, I think you know, the third quarter stuff from a few years ago, that was really, you're talking about a veteran team, and, you know, with guys, you know, Hall of Fame players in their prime, who could figure out, you know, to lock down at, you know, a couple halftime adjustments and, you know, maybe a mental shift and, all right, it's time to go. You know, it's time to put this team to bed. And but that's not the team we are anymore. You know, we're older, and so you know, we've got guys missing more often. We're also younger, so we've got guys who are you know, learning and growing, and it's all part of the process for this particular team. So, you know, every team's different, and you know, I believe in our guys. I know we can get there, but we've just got a lot of work to do.
Coach, after the game, Klay Thompson said that everybody could learn from the way the guys on the floor at the end of the game, the way they played to finish up the game. The game had already been decided, but they played well offensively. What did you think of Klay's comments? And more importantly, can you give us any indication as to whether Klay is available tonight, second game of a back-to-back?
Yeah, Klay's scheduled to play. But yeah, I agree with Klay. I mean, the young guys played really well down the stretch. I've really been pleased with Moses Moody and his effort the last 4 or 5 games. You know, he's been out of the rotation for, you know, much of the season, but he's such an impressive young guy. The way he works, the way he carries himself, he's getting better. He's putting in the work every single day. Patrick Baldwin Jr. also played well down the stretch, and I thought Kuminga, you know, in those last 5 minutes, the way he moved the ball, is that's what we want all the time. You know, catch it and move it, and it creates a really good rhythm to the offense. So these guys are all, as Klay mentioned, you know, they're talented. They did a great job closing the game, and you know, we have to be able to put together longer spurts of the game like that.
Is it fair to say that PBJ and Moses and perhaps are in line for more minutes here going forward?
I think I would love to get them both in. It's always a numbers game. You know, you got a lot of guys on the roster. You've got different needs based on combinations, who's out, who's in. But I would love to get them out there before long. It's just it's not easy because of you know, like I said, the different factors involved and the combinations that you're looking for.
The two-way guys, I mean, you obviously really like these guys. Their net rating, Steve, doesn't look great. But obviously, you and the coaching staff feel like they have earned the minutes. What are these guys doing that you're maybe not seeing from the young guys that would kind of, that would put them in front of some of your younger players as far as minutes are concerned?
Well, some of it is positional. You know, Ty Jerome is the most traditional point guard on our team. You know, he's his assist to turnover ratio is off the charts. When he goes in, the game settles down. He gets us into our offense. He gets the ball moving. He's got a beautiful pick and roll game. You know, that floater in the lane. The game just calms down when he's out there. And so with Steph out, we desperately need Ty's capability at point guard. And Lamb, it's, you know, he's the one guy who can kind of play the four position and really stretch the floor. You know, he had a tough shooting night last night. This guy shot 40% from three for the year. He makes plays off the dribble. He's an excellent passer, and he's got a big, strong body. He's capable of standing up to people who are attacking him. And both guys have experience. They make a lot of the little plays that you know, fans probably don't quite recognize, that coaches are all over because that's all we do day after day. And we know that those things lead to you know, to better play for the group. So it's all about you know, really earning minutes and doing things that are going to help the team win, and both of those guys have done a lot of that this year.
Obviously, without Andrew, you had to improvise a little bit. Were you happy with the starting lineup? Is that one we're likely to see again?
I think it's going to be flexible. Why do you mean we've because of the injuries? It may be a matchup thing depending on who we're playing from night to night. But, you know, by separating Draymond and Loon, we're able to always have one of them on the floor at all times. And that's really important for us. So, you know, they're two of our best players. And Loon just gets us stabilized. He gets us calmer. And so having his presence off the bench with some of those younger guys who are coming in, and he's a good stabilizing force.
You know, the West is wide open. It's so many years, it seems like the final stretch of the regular season, I don't want to say it doesn't have a lot of significance, but it feels like you got teams that are looking towards vacation and teams that are dialing it up for the playoffs. This year, you got so many teams, Steve, battling for playoff spots. I think down the stretch, it could be almost like a baseball pennant race this year where you're just literally scoreboard watching. That all being said, I'm amazed what Pelinka and the Lakers have been able to get done. I see them making a huge fast charge here in the final part of the season. Do you envision that as well, based on what you've seen?
Yeah, they've made some good moves over the offseason, or over the trading deadline, and you know, you can see that the puzzle fits a lot better now with the shooting that they've added. You know, the energy of Vanderbilt, the defense, and Beasley made 7 threes last night. You know, he's a good fit next to those guys. So they did a lot of good things, and they're clearly much better now than they were, you know, just a few weeks ago.
Steve, you've been saying since November that you wanted your team to play with more of a sense of urgency, and it seemed like you had an idea before a lot of people that, hey, this isn't really going the way we need it to. Are you, at least, we know you guys are extremely shorthanded, this is a real challenge right now, are you satisfied with the level of urgency that your players are feeling and are playing with right now?
Well, not against the Lakers. You know, I mentioned Malik Beasley making 7 threes. He was a huge part of the scouting report. There wasn't enough urgency, clearly. So we're going to have to show that over these last 23 games, because we're in a fight with the rest of the West for playoff positioning, and there's going to be, you know, three teams left out completely, not even making the play-in. When you look at, you know, the standings, from 4 to 13, there's very little difference from in everybody's in that span. So, you know, we've got to show a much greater sense of urgency and intensity, and you know, it's got to start soon.
You know, it's been a frustrating year in a lot of ways. I know you have stated multiple times that you're confident that this team can kind of flip a switch, but get to that championship level and maybe make a run at defending this title. Do you sense a belief from the players? I know they want to believe, but as the season goes further along and you guys are sub 500, do you sense that their belief at all in your guys' title defending ability is waning?
I think there have been times when our guys have been frustrated, you know, and maybe lost a little bit of energy. I thought last night, you know, our guys got discouraged in that third quarter. And I think some of that is, you know, Steph is the guy who gives us, you know, that mojo, that sense of, of confidence and even a little bit of arrogance. And so his absence means that it's that we're more fragile than we would be otherwise. But again, we've played without him quite a bit this year, and we've won our share of games, and we can continue to do that. But ultimately, we all know if we're going to do anything significant this season, we're going to have to get healthy, and that's the goal, you know, to tread water and make sure we're you know, hanging in there, and then, you know, hopefully get everybody healthy and active. And if we have that in place, I think this team feels like they can beat anybody in a playoff series.
Steve, we know you're not a doctor. Probably could have been if you wanted to be. But and we know that, you know, we have no idea. I know Steph's going to be reevaluated in another week. I understand that. Is there anything you can share with us about what you have seen from him, what he's been doing, how he just looks to you? Again, we're not asking, when's he going to be back? We'd love to know, right, but we don't know. Is there anything you can share with us about what he has been doing and how he looks doing it?
Well, he's been on the court the last couple of days. We practiced at UCLA Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, before the Laker game. And he was on the court and getting an individual workout. And I didn't see it, but I talked to him afterwards. He told me he felt good. His work is coming along well, and he'll continue with that. And then we'll reevaluate, you know, in a week or so. But he's coming along well.
You know, I've asked you this question before because, you know, I've talked to you and I've said to you, hey, you know, you could have a political future. You could be on television. You could do a lot of things. And you've always maintained to me, hey, I'm a basketball coach. I love doing this. I'm just kind of wondering this year with all the ups and downs, all the questioning of your rotations, is it fun for you still? Has this year been fun for you? And if you have the choice next year, do you want to coach this team next year?
Oh, I love coaching, and I love coaching this team, and I want to do this for a long time to come. And you know, I think the one thing that you have to have in this business is perspective. And part of that perspective is that, you know, there's going to be some highs, and we've had some incredible highs over the years, including last year, you know, winning our fourth title. And there's going to be plenty of lows, too, and we've had a lot of those this year. And it's all about just, you know, continuing to work every day, continuing to provide what the players need in terms of instruction and culture and accountability, and trying to get everybody moving forward every day. I love that. I love working with this great staff that I have and with our front office. So I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. And then you also have to mix in the perspective of it's pro sports, so there's no guarantees of anything. So you don't spend too much time worrying about any of that stuff. You just go, you do the best you can, and you see where it all lays out at the end.
Coach, as always, we appreciate your time. You're so gracious and patient, especially after, you know, tough losses. But I got to get in a Kevon Looney question, you know, before we go. So Kevon Looney, the rebounding numbers are incredible. To me, he has become just very adept at grabbing long misses, and there are more of those than there ever were in the NBA. And seeing him at the foul line, almost like an outfielder making a play. Is that one of the keys to his rebounding success? He's become so good at fielding, if you will, those longer rebounds?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's got such long arms. So he plays bigger than he actually is from a height perspective. But I think where he's really improved the last couple of seasons is his anticipation of where the ball is going and his movement when the ball's in midair. He seems to be a half count ahead of everybody else. And then he uses those long arms and his strength to wedge his way to where the ball's going. And he's become a brilliant rebounder. And he's our rock. He's Loon is good every single night. You know, he does everything that we ask and more, and we're just lucky to have him.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
talk
Coach.
To you later. Okay.
Got to give you credit, Larry. You asked some of those questions that I dared you to ask him. Well done. Well played.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did you get the answers you were looking for?
No. Not at all. I mean, Steve's in a tough spot. I mean, it hasn't gone all, smoothly this year. There seems to be some front office coaching staff disconnect. When Myers came out the other day and said, we can get an 8-foot player in here, but if the coaching staff's not going to play him, well, I mean, that...
You may be... I hadn't even thought of it that way. To me, it was just... it doesn't matter, if they're not going to play, we got to all work together on this. I didn't really see a disconnect there, and you may be right. The reason I don't see a disconnect is there's no obvious player there about whom I can say, oh, well, this guy would have helped, but they didn't. Maybe the coaches didn't want him. But to me, Bob Myers and Steve Kerr really work well together. I just wonder if Bob Myers leaves, if we're going to see like dominoes start to fall.
Makes you wonder.
Being one of them.
Like, if I said to you, Whitey, who is most likely to be here next year between Myers, Kerr, and Draymond? I mean, you just heard Kerr basically told us right here that, that he, sees himself.
Kerr, wouldn't it?
Sees himself back.
Yeah.
But I actually think that Draymond's not going to get more money in the free market than he's got next year on the option. So I think he's going to opt in.
Yeah, 27.5 next year, I think, for 27.6. But, it could be a matter of if he wants to go somewhere else and he's able to get a longer-term deal, maybe they work something out. It's just a matter of if he wants to stick around. And if Myers is not here, maybe Draymond wants to move on. It's just there's no telling right now. But I could see how this thing, as great as it's been, all these things fall apart eventually. And we may be looking at that right now, this thing coming apart.
I hope that's not the case. I mean, it sounds like Steve wants to keep coaching and wants to see him keep coaching here. And you would think with a guy with his resume that he would just have, carte blanche to stay as long as he wants. But next year would be his lame duck season. And there aren't NBA coaches for the most part that, definitely not with the clout of Steve Kerr and the resume of Steve Kerr, that go into a lame duck season without a contract extension. So what does that mean? Does that mean we're going to see one, right now? We're going to see one, in this off season? Is he going to sign an extension? I don't see him coming back as in a lame duck situation. And as far as Myers goes, a lot from the people that I'm talking to,
are these your moles?
Different moles.
Okay.
Yeah, but right. But same.
Larry's got moles all over the
place.
I've
got all kinds of.
Get to
I've
the
got
dermatologist.
All kinds of connections, all kinds of people whispering things to me. But from one of the things I've heard in the last day or two is that people close to the Warriors swear that Bob Myers is going absolutely nowhere, that Bob Myers will be the guy that's back next year, that he's, obviously he grew up going to, Monta Vista, right? He's a lifelong Warrior fan. But I always kind of figured maybe this would come to an end. You got Kirk Lake up sitting there. You've got rumors of Brent Barry. Yeah. I've heard rumors that Brent Barry who knows? I've heard people say Brent Barry's going to coach this team. I've heard people say Brent Barry's going to be the general manager of this team. But from what I'm hearing, Myers is coming back, and then Kerr basically just told us that he's intending to come back. I actually think Draymond is more likely to exercise that option and stay with the Warriors because I think he's that's his best financial play.
Mm-hmm.
So all this talk about this thing coming to an end, it sounds like, in my mind, if you ask me, I would say that all three of those guys are back.
Oh, something's got to give, though, on the text line here. Dre is here. Pool traded when market value and contract goes up. Someone else here, 650, actually the same person saying Pool is gone. We gotcha. Pool is someone I think they could trade if he finishes the year with decent numbers. And you and I have talked already about his shooting numbers are down. But if you're looking for a way out of the financial crunch and you're looking to get something back of value, Pool to me would make sense. If I'm committed to continuing with the way Steve Kerr coaches this team, which I hope they are, Jordan Poole to me, Lair, he's a ball stopper and he's not a good defender and his concentration is in and out and he's inconsistent. And I know that they need him when Steph's out because he can score. But other than that, if I could get something of value for him, I would seriously consider it because I think if I'm linked to Poole, I'm linked to ups and downs, and it's just not, he doesn't play basketball the way the Warriors play basketball.
You know, the interesting thing is you're talking about next year. Now, this year he makes 3.9. Next year the extension kicks in. He makes 28.7. So if you were going to move Jordan Poole, you'd have to bring back a significant player. Mm-hmm. Or my guess is probably an older player. I've heard people suggest Damian Lillard coming to the Bay. That would be intriguing. I'll say this. I would be very eager to see that. But I'm not the biggest Jordan Poole fan. Now, I love the fact that he works really hard. I love the fact that he's kind of a self-made player. I like when I hear people say, hey, this guy's he's the first guy to show up every day. He's the last guy to leave. I love that kind of work ethic. And obviously, he's got huge talent on the offensive end of the floor. But to me, he plays such matador defense. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I really can't depend on him to shut down his guy, to the point where there's several times in the game where he gets beaten on the defensive end. They show Kerr. Kerr looks exasperated by Poole. Maybe he's exasperated by something else, but it just seems there's been more than one occasion where Kerr seems like he's frustrated by Poole's inability to play any defense at all.
Pardon me, to that very point, look at the clip that Anthony Slater wrote about today, the play where LeBron's dribbling and Poole tripped him. You can see Draymond's under the basket and puts his arms like up, like, what are you doing? I mean, who knows exactly what, but it was exactly the type of play you're talking about where there was no reason to trip LeBron James there dribbling on perimeter. He's not hurting you. And it looked like Draymond was reacting to it, like, what? That's exactly the type of foul we cannot commit right now.
Yeah.
So it happened last night.
Yeah, I mean, and Draymond is, Draymond's like a coach. You know, Draymond's, probably one of the smartest players in the entire league. Maybe one of the smartest players in the history of the league. I mean, I don't want to overstate it, but I also don't want to understate it. I think Draymond Green is a borderline genius basketball player. And if you're on his team and don't make the smart play, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that's going to button his lip and not say anything.
Right.
He seems like the kind of guy that would probably remind you.
I don't
want to
hurt his feelings.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything, I'm just going to let him be him. No. He's going to come out and kind of say things. So, that's the other thing. You know, people talk about Green. I think Green, Draymond this year has played, tremendous basketball.
Shooting's up a little bit, three-point shooting.
His shot's still flat from the perimeter, and it's like sometimes I'm watching him shoot those threes and I'm like, can you try to put a little bit more arc on the ball? Because it's just the percentage of times that he hits the front rim on his three-point shots is just seems like really, really high.
Yeah, it's not a good-looking shot. I think it's got a little better. I think they made an adjustment last night. I think Van Gundy might have talked about this. When Draymond's running point, he's a very good passer, but I don't have to guard him. Right, so my guard, it really limits some of the passing lanes because I don't have to guard him. And then last night it seemed like they ran him. He was on the post more, running the offense room on the post, which opened up more things. So he's just not an offensive threat right now. That definitely seemed to be an adjustment, a tweak that worked to some degree, but last night was a lost cause. Let me ask you this: you mentioned Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard said something really interesting, I thought, during the All-Star break. Dame Lillard said he thinks he's the greatest player in Trailblazer history. And he didn't say it boasts. He said, yeah, I just think I am. And that's pretty hard to argue with. Who would you say, who else in the NBA right now?
I mean, what about Drexler?
Yeah, I think to me it's Dame, but you can make a case for
Walton.
You could say Walton, but Walton wasn't there that late. They won the championship.
It wasn't Walton. That mean that was the best of Walton.
77. Yeah, he was phenomenal, and he was really good the next year. Then he got hurt. Then he wasn't very good again until he went to the Celtics. But well, he had a few good years in there. Who else on their team right now do you think we could say he's the best player in his franchise's history?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
No way.
No, that's not even true, because they had KD.
They had Kevin Durant.
They had I love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I do too.
He's one of my favorite players. Yeah. Who's the greatest player in the history of the Sacramento Kings? Is it Sabonis?
Probably Webb.
Phil Ford.
Well, if you include Kansas City, then you know
Mark Olberding.
And you got like freaking Oscar and Nate Archibald and those guys.
Yeah.
But what about would Giannis be? Is he the greatest Milwaukee Buck ever, or would it be when Kareem was there?
Well, yeah. I mean, Kareem. You had Marcus Johnson. You had Sidney Moncrief. Mm-hmm. You had Terry Cummings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all great.
Yeah,
those guys are all great.
Jokic. Is he the greatest Denver Nugget of all time?
You had Issel. Yeah. You had English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alex English, maybe.
Michael Adams. I don't know. I mean,
Michael Adams and Michael Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is
Steph's the greatest warrior, though, ever, right? I know we're talking about freaking Wilt.
He's the best Golden State warrior.
But you don't think he's the greatest in...
I mean, Chamberlain? You going to put him in front of Chamberlain?
I think I might.
Chamberlain has such a dominant statistical monster. I mean, not even on the floor, off the floor too. I mean,
yes, I understand.
You know,
yeah, but yeah, averaging 50 points a game and all that.
Wilt was prolific.
He was
prolific.
He would have us believe, and yeah, he may have exaggerated a little, but who knows?
Yeah,
but I think Steph's impact on the game is that great with the four championships, because you know, Wilt, and then he played for the other teams. That's one thing I take into account. Is Steph has just only been a Warrior?
Okay, it's
a toss up.
It's Wilt or Steph, right? You're putting Steph over Rick.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff Mullins, but probably, yeah, you're probably right. It's
Jeff Mullins. Don't forget Terry Teagle. You know,
Teagle. I did.
How about Dallas? Is Nowitzki or Luka?
It's Dirk, but I think Luka's
but
on.
There's also Kidd and Mashburn and those guys. They were
right.
Had some pretty good players. I'm thinking of some of the early teams.
Because Dirk is like top six in scoring all time, whatever, but I think Luka may be on track.
Yeah. I mean, who's the greatest Raptor of all time?
Vince
Kawhi?
Carter? Kawhi was just there the 1 year. Yeah.
Chris Bosh?
Chris Bosh is a good one.
There you go.
Yeah.
There was what do you do with Utah Jazz and New Orleans Pelicans? Do you combine them and say Pete Maravich?
No, because that's two different. The Pelicans are not the Jazz.
Right.
The New Orleans Jazz is the Utah Jazz.
But is it Karl Malone?
Is
it Pete Maravich? Is it John Stockton?
Probably is Karl Malone. Although I don't know why he had anything to do with the All-Star game, given some of the things
it's amazing that people have just kind of, you know, just have ignored the ugly past of Karl Malone. And it's like, oh, it's like it didn't happen. Do Utah fans not recognize that as a legitimate story? Or
I don't know. It was a little uncomfortable, but then luckily it was the All-Star game and nobody saw it. I thought Aaron Rodgers, you know, going into the darkness for 4 days, a little bit of an extreme measure to avoid the NBA All-Star game, but it's probably worth it.
Ja Morant, the greatest Grizzly of all time?
No. Pau Gasol's on the phone.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but Ja's on track.
Say Zach Randolph or somebody.
By the end of his career, I think Devin Booker could be the best Phoenix Sun of all time.
Walter Davis?
That's pretty, a good one. He
pretty
could
awesome.
Be. Yeah. Connie Hawkins
Dan
on the way
Thunder
back.
Marley?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Chambers.
Uh-huh.
Steve Nash won two MVPs.
He did.
Steve Nash.
Shame on all of us for taking that long to get
Matrix.
To Steve Nash. Yeah. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting that Dame said that. And
greatest Clipper of all time? Who's that?
Ah, boy.
Kawhi?
Well, see, they used to be the Buffalo Braves, and Bob McAdoo was sure good.
Sure.
I'm kind of dodging your...
Manning. If you want to go old school, yeah, Bob McAdoo, for sure.
Yeah.
Bob McAdoo.
Yeah. So I'm with Dame. OKC Supersonics. See, that's the thing. When you said Shai Gilgeous, you got to consider the other Thunder players and all the Seattle Supersonics. Big Country,
Big Country
is a nomination for the Grizz. Yeah, and Andre Kirilenko, the greatest Utah Jazz, to be dunked on from the 510.
There you go.
Yeah,
Baron Davis over AK-47.
Yeah,
who had that arrangement with his wife where he could be like furloughed for 1 day a year, right?
That's right.
That's an open relationship. Andre AK-47 Andre Kirilenko.
And now we got AR-15 Austin Reeves, who dominated the Warriors last night. So the game tonight, here's what we got. The Warriors and the Rockets. Andrew Wiggins remains out tonight against the Rockets due to the personal reasons. Everyone's wondering. Not a lot of people know. I don't even know if Larry's moles know what's going on. And I'm not making light of it. It's whatever it is. It's obviously a serious personal thing. So we'll just have to wait and see. We may never find out what it is, but we have to wait and see how long he's going to be out. Draymond Green, questionable. Right knee contusion. Let's see. Jalen Green, Kevin Porter out for the Rockets tonight. And then at last check, Clay was on track to play. And that says something right there, Larry. The fact that
he's going to play back-to-backs now?
Yeah, and it'd be the second time he did. And Steve Kerr said earlier this year, I don't know if that's going to happen. But it's a good sign because, yeah, Clay is feeling better, but also a sign that we need you right now.
I was going to say, it's a great sign for them, for him, but it's a better sign for the Warriors because they need him. I mean, they desperately need him out there. And tonight's going to be interesting because there's a little pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect a ton of energy by Golden State in the first quarter. I think they're going to come out with a lot of energy and take control of the game. What did you think? I asked Steve about that third quarter differential, and I want to get your thought on that as well. I a buddy of mine looked this up. The Warriors in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 20, all those years they led the NBA in that third quarter point differential. Last year they led the NBA at plus 2.7. This year they're minus 0.3. It's 20th in the league out of 30 teams. Do you see anything that is different coming out of the locker room at halftime than you've seen in previous years? I mean, the Warriors have literally paced the NBA. Now, granted, it's different teams every year, but there's a number of different teams that they had that did lead the NBA, almost to the point where we kind of expected Golden State to dominate the third quarter time and time again. That's not happening this year, and I think that's a big part of their struggles.
It's funny you say that, because a couple weeks ago they were playing, I think it was the Raptors on an NBA TV game, and it was halftime, and Isaiah Thomas says, third quarter, you know what the Warriors do in the third quarter? And I'm at home going, they don't do that anymore. You're wrong. That's not a thing. That doesn't happen anymore.
It used to be a thing for a long time.
Yeah, that's not the case anymore. They're just not good enough anymore. They don't do that at any point.
But here's the thing.
String together wins.
The part that I don't get, Whitey, is that if their first quarter team, the starting five, has the best point differential in the league, and it's those same guys who are usually starting the third quarter. So if they've got the best starting five in basketball, what is it about when they take the floor together in the third quarter that's not gelling?
I don't have the numbers on this, but I would say, remember, they used to get out in transition and they would boat race teams and they'd make a few shots and then they'd tilt the game in their favor and it would go downhill for them and the other team would miss and they'd go down and score and they defensively don't have the ability to get that kind of traction in the third quarter, first quarter, whatever, where they just take over a game and boat race teams. They can't get stops. So if you can't get stops, that's why they can't get anything going consistently. It's hard to get runs. It's hard to win a few games in a row. It's hard to put together consecutive quarters. It's all because defensively right now they are just a shadow of what they used to be, and that's, to me, all their success was based on what they did defensively. My friend, I do a podcast with Jerry Reynolds, who used to coach the Kings.
Love Jerry Reynolds.
He says no, their offense, their defense was good, their offense was great, but to me, that, and Jerry would know better than I, but I disagree. To me, it all started with how great they were defensively. They don't have that, and I think that's why they're struggling in a number of areas, including the third quarter differential.
It seemed like there's a lot of people, and I was listening to Steiny and Guru, and a lot of people were talking about, I heard a couple callers call up and say, get rid of Poole. That, the Poole is the guy they would move off of.
Empty the pool?
I kind of see Jordan, and maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but I kind of see him, especially with the injuries, with Steph out, that they kind of go as he goes. And like last night, he didn't go. He shot three of whatever from the field.
Yeah.
And they didn't go either. But if he had a big night, I think Golden State probably prevails last night.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that he's kind of, the key cog in a lot of ways.
888-957-9570. It's Whitey and Larry in for Damon and Ratto. Would you run it back next year with the same core that's coming up next? We are sponsored by 5-Hour Energy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey and Larry in for Damon and Ratto. It's been a lot of fun on this Friday. Looking forward to Warrior basketball tonight. Larry, it's been great fun.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for sharing so much about your moles. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for participating today at 888-957-9570. The Warriors here, before we get to, I know you got some interesting Tom Brady stuff we actually want to address. Would you bring it back next year, 23-24, with the same Warrior core? Let's say that, you know, let's say this year ends up going about the way we think. Maybe they
check out in the first round,
or they check out early. Yeah, would you bring back the gang, bring the band back together one last time?
No. I mean, first of all, I think there's always, you know, there's healthy turnover. I don't know that I would, you know, I'd bring back Klay, Steph, and Draymond. But as far as the entire group, no. I try to mix it up.
I mean, that's your championship core.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't bring back Iguodala. I don't understand what would you say you do here? You know, what does he do?
He is going to be available for postseason insurance. That's what the whole season, that's what they've said. And then, of course, they played him a little bit, and he plays, what, three games and throws his hip out, which, you know, I hope he's okay, but I don't know. And it sounds, doesn't it, like they really almost had to beg him to come back this year. Like, he's like, I'm done. No, just come on.
Take our money.
Yeah. So,
I mean,
if he's healthy, I guess he could help defensively too.
He's making $1.8 million. So, what a gig.
Yeah.
If you can get it. I like the upside of Patrick Baldwin. I really would love to see DiVincenzo back. As far as Iguodala, Jamichael Green, Ty Jerome, Anthony Lamb, I like to, not as much. Kuminga, I like. Looney, I like. I'm okay if they move off of Moses Moody. I like Peyton coming back. I'm not a big Poole fan. I'll tell you the guy that I really think has got a lot of potential is Ryan Rollins. I think Ryan Rollins has potential. You know, he's a good-sized point guard, but I think he's got a nice little face-up game. I think there's upside there. And I definitely would bring back Clay and Wiggins. So, yeah, I guess Poole would be the one significant piece that I'd be open to moving. And you know, it would be very interesting. When you make the kind of money that he's going to make next year, that makes the options really limited as far as what you can get coming back. But I bet you there'll be some team that will try to divest themselves of an older player that would look at Poole at his age and contract, the number of years he's under contract, and say, hey, yeah, we can turn things over. But then it's a matter of how does Golden State view Jordan long term.
Yeah, so. It wasn't a great environment for him there, obviously, and he wanted to start. They didn't want him to start. One of his teammates punched him. That's what I wonder. I'm trying to remember the timing on Iguodala, and I'm sure people listening, and maybe you, Larry, will remember it more clearly than I, but I was wondering if that was one of the reasons why they really wanted to get Iguodala, because they felt like, as good as he is for our culture, we may have some fracturing here after what happened between Draymond and Jordan Poole. It's just a guess. I don't have moles who've told me this, but I'm wondering if that's one of the reasons they really wanted him back, is because he could help them deal with any potential fallout there. I don't know.
I mean, I think just think they want to be. I mean, I think when I the first time I went into Chase Center, I thought to myself, wow, the Warrior business people have really, with the opulence of this palace, have challenged their basketball people to produce a consistent product so that it doesn't just drive off the cliff, because it's an expensive arena, and will people want to go if there's this, you know, this big down period? And I kind of was with Joe on the two timeline thing, because I saw the business plan of the arena and I thought, you know what, he's probably going to need this thing to be, you know, to kind of continue on longer than just a year or two to fill the arena. But now, you know, seeing where they're at, I think you've got to kind of be a little bit more open-minded. I think, you know, I would definitely want to talk to Steph and Clay and Draymond about you know, how they envision their twilight years with the franchise. But I think I would try to see what was out there, and I'd be open-minded about Poole.
You know, I think this started with Branch Rickey, and the great Bill Walsh was also a believer in this. Like, in pro sports, better to get rid of somebody too early than too late. But in my opinion, in the NBA, when you have those truly elite championship difference makers, and they're rare, to me, when you have one of those guys, it's better to get everything you can out of them, because you cannot replace them. So getting rid of a guy sooner rather than later, to me, in the NBA, nope. If you got a great, truly a great Tim Duncan, Steph, Michael Jordan, if you can, you hang on to them for as long as you can, because there isn't another guy around the corner.
Well, and it's so much more complicated than that, too, right? In the NBA, you've got to protect salary slots. You know, it was bad that KD left, but it was great that Bob Myers found a way to turn that into D'Lo, which he turned into Kuminga and Wiggins, and you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, protecting the salary slots oftentimes are a big part of being a GM, but I'm not sure what the future holds for Golden State, but you know, I do feel good about the organization and the decision making they've made. I mean, every
if Bob
team's
Myers
gonna make
is back,
mistakes.
I feel good about things.
Yeah, I do too.
If Bob's not back, I don't know.
I'm a little worried about, like, you know, nepotism and exactly, you know, how good, you know, would how competent would the general manager be if it's somebody who has no experience being a general
manager? I think it'd be
manager.
Someone like Dunleavy. I know what you're saying. I don't think it's going to be a Kirk Laker, but we'll see.
And who knows? Maybe Kirk could be. I mean, Kirk could be five times better than Dunleavy, for all I know.
Larry, but I apologize here, because we only have a couple minutes, and I know you want, and I wanted to hear what you had to say about this notion from Tom Florio, Pro Football Talk, that Tom Brady, the 49ers, there's still a shot at that happening?
Well, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, says that that Brady signing with the Niners is still on the table, and that it could potentially happen.
I like your moles better than his.
I would say no. I mean, to me, if now the big question on the Niner offseason.
Where is that coming from?
I think he just is of the belief that that Tom Brady, you know, was open-minded. And why? What's he pointing to? He's pointing to the fact that the Brady Fox deal doesn't start until 2024, and so Tom, you know, has this whole season to kind of kind of see what's out there and kind of play. You know, if there's a team that needs him, maybe he would go there. But to me, it seems like if Brock Purdy's elbow thing is more like a 6-month deal and not a 9-month deal, I'm not interested in Tom. And then also, if I'm the 49ers and I'm Kyle Shanahan and I'm John Lynch, and I really believe that Trey Lance, if you have the same belief that Trey is going to fulfill his potential as you did on draft day when you took him, then why? Then why are you bringing in Tom Brady? To me, the only way the Niners have any interest in this is if Brock isn't coming back until December, and they don't believe that Trey is going to fulfill the potential that they originally, saw in him. Mm-hmm. So, I would just say no to Tom Brady. I think the third quarterback has to be a quarterback that can play and maybe even could start. But I'm thinking more like a Marcus Mariota. You know, somebody who could start, but also could be a third string guy. If you show up in camp and you've signed Tom Brady, Tom Brady's playing. He hasn't missed a game in 6 years. So what if Brock then gets back and plays great? What if Trey emerges this year as a star? Then what? They're going to be blocked by 47-year-old Tom Brady playing out the string?
No, thanks.
That doesn't make any sense. So to me, it has to be both. Purdy's not going to be available till Christmas time because of the surgery, and he needed a huge reconstruction, and they don't believe in Trey.
Thank you, Larry. A lot of fun today.
Hey,
great
man,
job.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you, Grandy. Thank you, Lucas. Thank you very much for listening. What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Warriors live with my guy, John Dickinson, ahead of Warriors Houston from Chase Center.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.